Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, September 7th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I hope you're ready for some mighty fine sex wisdom, because that's what's coming your way. That's right. This is the podcast series that is all about chatting with the movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. Researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers, all who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. And today, I have the honor of welcoming a woman of distinction, an award-winning author, holistic healer, sought-after public speaker, activist, shaman, and even a kite-surfing instructor. Don't you know? I have with me the one and only Micaiah Hart. Micaiah is the author of The Ultimate Guide to Orgasm for Women, How to Become Orgasmic for a Lifetime. It is by far the best book about women's sexuality that I have read in the past decade, if not longer. And that's saying a lot, sex fans. So listen up. If you're a woman, or you know someone who is, this is a must-read for you. I'm telling you, if this amazing book doesn't change the way that you look at yourself and your sexual responses, or change the way you relate to the women in your life, then my name isn't Dr. Dick. Micaiah invites you to visit her on her site, aptly named MicaiahHart.org. You can also find her on Facebook, too. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab. The How-To Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and also informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Micaiah, and thank you for joining us. I'm delighted that we have found this time to be together for this Sex Wisdom podcast. Thank you for taking some time from your book tour to chat with us. And now that you're here...
I'm delighted, Richard, to call you.
And now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the nice people?
Yeah, hello, all you wonderful people out there.
Excellent. So as you know, I'm a huge fan of your book, The Ultimate Guide to Orgasms for Women, How to Become Orgasmic for a Lifetime. The good folks at Cleus Press, your publisher, sent me a review copy, and I was hooked right off the bat. And I don't even have any lady parts, don't you know?
Well, tell me, Richard, what was it? Can you pin down what it was that hooked you?
Well, yeah. Because of my position as a sex advisor online, and because of what I see in my private practice for the last 30 years, female sexuality in general and female orgasmic sexuality has often been a very elusive thing for not just me, but for a lot of my clients, women in particular. And so your book was just so eye-opening. It was so wonderful. It had women talking about their own sexuality from, and I thought that was actually really spectacular. And so that's what made me sit up and take notice.
Yeah, I have certainly been surprised at there's hardly any information out there, good information out there about women's sexuality.
I know. and there's no wonder that, women and their male partners you know, are often at sixes and sevens about, you know, yes. what to do. So it's true. So I think yours is a primer, and, you know, it should be required reading for anyone with a vagina, if you ask me. So yes. Do you know if other men besides me are reading your book and learning from it?
You know, the book first came out in 1998,
uh-huh.
and I got a lot of calls back from men. I think a lot of men are very interested in it. But, you know, it's really interesting. Last night I did a workshop here in Portland at She Bought the Shop, and there were 35, I think 33 women maybe, and one man. And the one man just asked one question, and it's a question that other men have asked me or said to me, you know, that they've slept with a lot of women who have enormous conflict and ambivalence about sex.
Yes.
Mostly because of past traumatic experiences. Although
yes.
often I think women don't remember, you know, we block out traumatic
yes.
experiences and don't remember them. And I also think that, well, you know, it's a fact that since the beginning of time, sex has been used as a weapon against women.
Right.
And so there's a deep subconscious cultural fear of sex.
Right, and that gets in the way of, you know, healthy sexual yeah. interaction,
yeah.
either with oneself or one's partners. And
right.
Again, the reason why, you know, so much frustration that I see in my private practice, as well as, you know, the people who visit Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and that's one of the reasons why it's such a joy to have you on my show, because we're talking. To the resource itself. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. So, well, I do think that the something needs to be addressed. It's women's ambivalence or conflict about
yes.
sex, and it's not talked about. It's denied.
Yeah.
And you know, that means that it stops women from enjoying sex.
Yeah.
And it's possible to get over that conflict, to you know, really look at it and move on beyond it and
yes.
have great sex without any
right. But, you know, it takes a little bit more than, you know, either a partner or a therapist saying, well, just get over it.
Yes, it does. You're certainly right about that. It takes a personal commitment.
Uh-huh.
It takes a very serious personal commitment. You have to really decide, okay, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to move on from
right.
it. You've got to look at it. You can't move on until you've acknowledged where you are right,
right.
now.
So precisely true. Absolutely. So, as you just mentioned, this book was originally titled When the Earth Moves, Women and Orgasms, back in 1998. This new edition, the one that I got, has a foreword by everyone's favorite sex writer, Violet Blue. I love Violet. Did anything else change from the original printing to this?
Yes. I streamlined it a little. I think it was wandering in places, and I streamlined it a little, but the main thing that changed is there was a chapter at the beginning of the other book about my own personal experience.
Uh-huh.
And most of that has been written. I wrote my memoir. I wrote my memoir. It's really the story of my personal journey from anger to joy. It's called My Sweet Wild Dance. And really, a lot of my anger, I was tremendously angry for many years, and that arose from a childhood where I was molested and abused, and it took me a lot of concentrated work to move beyond that.
Yes.
But anyway, in the original edition of the orgasm book, I had a chapter on that, and I deleted that chapter.
I see.
It's written in my memoir, and
right.
you know, I can't honestly say that I can necessarily help anyone to move beyond that anger in the way that I did. But if I can, then that book will certainly be what will help people.
Right. I hope to have some time to talk about that in a
yeah.
few minutes. But right now, I just want to acknowledge the luminaries who are quoted on the back of your book.
Yeah.
Betty Dodson, Tristan Taramino, Janet Hardy, you sure know how to pick the heavy hitters.
Well, you know, Some of them were picked by Claire's Press rather than me, but some of them read my original version. You know, Violet Blue and Janet Hardy both read When the Earth Moves,
yes,
the original edition,
right,
and both found it,
yeah,
delighted to say both found it a wonderful,
right,
book. So.
And with all those big names, it's better than the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, huh?
Yes, <it's very> good. Yes, I feel very honored. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your book tour. What are you encountering on your tour, and who is in your audience? You're in Portland right now, and you're on your way to Seattle, right?
Yes, and actually I've just done the first, I've done a number of radio interviews, but this is actually the first, last night was the first workshop that I've done on this tour.
I see, cool.
And I lead workshops actually mostly on shamanic journeying, and I'm not used to workshops larger than 12 or 16, and there were 34 people at this one, so I was a little like, oh, what do we do here? But it was great because I found that they I did a brief exercise on learning to feel energy moving in your body, and it worked very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're mostly, I think, probably mostly heterosexual women.
I see.
There was one man there, as I said. They were mostly probably in their, I'd say, 30s, 40s and younger, maybe a couple of older.
Hmm.
But I'm doing a workshop next week in Seattle at Babelands.
Right.
So,
one of my favorite places.
Yes.
Is this the first time that you will be here in Seattle presenting?
I did actually do something at Babelands in 98.
Wow, interesting.
Yes, not since then.
So I guess there will be standing room only here too.
And you know, I would love to come back and do more workshops if in these places. I'm always in this area in July and August.
Yes,
so.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm. So this may be somewhat of a difficult question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Have there been any cultural changes in terms of women's sexuality in general and women's orgasms in particular in the past 13 years since your first book appeared?
I think our culture, the world itself, and cultures obviously, are actually changing extremely fast. And I think there are more and more people, and I do mean people, men and women,
yes,
who are questioning sexuality and talking openly about it, which is truly wonderful, and it's a trend that really needs to continue.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, last night I spoke with a woman, you know, I myself was in a sexual healing group with some friends for years where that's where I really learned to talk completely openly,
mm-hmm,
just in a very day-to-day way,
yeah,
about sex.
Right.
Which is a total reversal of my upbringing.
Yes.
And that needs to happen much more. And women who are dealing with traumatic events in the past and working at healing from that really need to just be able to talk about it in a casual and matter-of-fact way,
yeah,
on their daily lives. And you know.
But you know, finding vocabulary. You know,
yeah,
if we've never talked about it, or we've shied away from it, and then there's an invitation to start talking about it, sometimes we are without vocabulary, and
yeah,
how do we begin? And
yeah,
so that's where I thought your book was so very helpful, because here we have, you present a whole bunch of women who are already talking. They're talking. It's not just you talking, it's a whole bunch of other women who are,
yeah,
talking about this stuff in a very casual sort of way, very intimate, very compelling, very intense, but they're talking. So it's an invitation for me to talk with them or back to them,
yeah,
or about the same things that they are.
Yes, yes.
It's
and I do think there are some of us, people like you and me, who are like, I mean, it's absolutely, we know it's what we want to do. We have no qualms about that. We want to talk about it openly and without any embarrassment.
Yeah. Do you find what I find? You know, because I'm like way out there. You know, and I you know, wherever I am, I'll talk about sex if I, you know, feel there's a need to do so, or there's an opening to do so. And then I do it in such a casual sort of way. And sometimes, you know, people find it most inappropriate. You know, like, how could you be talking about that there? And, you know, and they, you know, really shut me down. It's just like, this is inappropriate. You can't be talking about that now. Or is that all you have on your brain? And it's like an indictment. Like, you know, there's something truly defective about you that you don't have this, you know, this filter, you know, to be able to, you know, redirect this stuff. But I think it's pivotal, you know, it's a pivotal thing to understanding who we are and who our what our culture is. And but so I assume you find the same thing.
Yes, and what I have actually found myself doing, and part of me wishes I didn't do this, but I travel a lot, so I'm constantly meeting people I don't know. And I very often specifically don't mention that I've written a book on sex. At least I'm doing that less and less now, but for a long time I didn't mention it because it would make people nervous of me.
So true.
Yes, it makes people nervous. And so...
because then they think that you know everything and that they know nothing, and that it really even complicates, a little sexual encounter one might have with a potential partner.
It does indeed. Sadly, that is sad but true. They think that, you know, and the truth is, and I say this, first thing I say in all my workshops, I don't, you know, maybe I know a little more about women's sexuality, but I don't know anything about you individually. You are the ones who know about you.
Yes.
I know nothing about you, and I'm not going to pretend to know anything about you.
And that's that in itself is this huge secret, is it not? I mean, because someone could actually be a world-class expert in female sexuality, but have absolutely no clue about a particular woman.
Exactly.
Isn't that true?
Exactly. That is really true. We are so individual. And that's one of the wonderful things about it.
Yeah.
Yes,
and until this individual starts to disclose something about herself and her sexuality, you know, the study of female sexuality is really not complete.
Yes, and you know, it cannot be studied. Well, it can and has been studied from an academic point of view, but that's incredibly limited because it is so not. It's not academic. It simply cannot be reduced to the academics of it.
So this is where I want to jump off and talk about you for a moment. I read what you wrote about yourself. I've had a number of different personas in my 59 years on Earth in this particular body. A waitress, a factory worker, a political activist, a hippie, an anarchist, a radical lesbian, a feminist, a car mechanic, a carpenter, a tree feller, a butch dyke, an organic market gardener, a pig farmer, a minister of holistic healing, a public speaker, a shamanic worker, an award-winning author, and kite surfing instructor, for instance. That's such a mouthful, don't you know? And let's see if we can pull that apart a bit and discover you in the process. The first thing that jumped out at me was something that didn't jump out at me at all, and that is that you're not a doctor, a sociologist, a therapist, or a clinician. And the fact that you are not one of the usual suspects who crank out self-help books is what makes you so interesting to me. So how did you launch into this, and why?
Mm-hmm. Well, I should say, first of all, that when I was a teenager in school, I got straight A's. I was primed for one of the top universities in Britain, and I went there. And I studied biology because I'm very interested in living things. I'm very interested in life, and I'm interested in the nature of life and of the nature of reality. And I studied ecology, and we're talking about 1971.
Uh-huh.
In Britain in those days, there were very few people who had heard the word ecology,
uh-huh.
and certainly extremely few people who had any concern about the environment. And I learned that we are destroying the environment. And I remember looking at my tutor and saying, well, I don't want to be part of this. And he looked over my shoulder and said, well, I expect we'll find ways of dealing with it. And I said, but I don't want to be part of it. And he said, well, your options are to live in a cave or be part of society. And at that, you know, I didn't actually go and live in a cave, but I dropped out of university. I mean, I couldn't be part of it. And
right.
so, you know... it's not that I couldn't have been an academic. I certainly could have, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to go there. And it was very, very clear to me that I didn't want to. Well, and then, so then I became a hippie, and I lived in a commune, and then I, you know, moved to California and built my own house out of recycled wood. But along the way, I had to admit that I was holding tremendous anger. And so when I started looking at what the anger was about, it was about being molested and abused as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it was about the way that I had been treated as a woman. I was treated as lesser than and, you know, not capable of and all those things. All those things I was determined to prove the opposite of.
Right.
So I started doing work, healing from that, going into therapy and talking with my friends, because I'm somebody who likes to talk about what's going on for me. And it was out of that the desire to write about sex grew, because I saw that there was a need. There was really a need.
Mm-hmm.
And my own... It was so good for my own healing to just write completely openly,
yes,
about sex. It was just such a delightful reversal of my childhood. And the writing thing is, you know, I'm one of those people who can't stop writing. And, you know, everybody says to me, oh, that's a wonderful gift. And I acknowledge it is a wonderful gift. But for me, it is often a curse, because
that's right,
the words turn up in my head and they demand to be written down. And
yes,
if I try to ignore them, they just keep me awake until I write them down.
Wow. So had you written or had you read the myriad books about female sexuality already in the marketplace? And say to yourself, like, something's missing.
Yes, that's bad. I mean, they didn't reflect what I experienced at all. I shouldn't say completely. There are a few books like The Courage to Heal by Laura, well, I can't remember her name now, but anyway, a very famous book, the only book that had been, was written in, I think it was written in the 80s. Maybe even in, no, I think the 80s. And it's a very good book on how to heal from sexual trauma. But it didn't feel like it went far enough for me either. And it didn't tell me. Well, what I wanted to do with my book was to illustrate the incredible variety of women's sexual responses and sexual arousal, and that's why I did it through interviews.
Because you couldn't do it otherwise,
otherwise. No, exactly.
Right.
And I really think there's, you know, I think I'm probably, who knows, I might write another book on sex, but I may well not write another book on sex. I certainly hope that somebody else does the same thing, because
yes,
there's millions of women out there with millions of different things to say.
Right.
I want to hear them.
Yes.
We need to hear them.
Yes.
Society needs to hear them.
Yes. And and other women need to hear other women.
Yes.
It seems to me. And it's gravy that men can listen in, if you ask me. It's gravy.
Yes.
It's how wonderful to sit there. And it's like being a fly on the wall to a group of women, you know, talking about their sexuality. Listen, if I was a straight man and I wanted to get laid on a regular basis, you'd be the first book that I'd pick up, don't you know?
Well, and I absolutely think so. I think there are a lot of men who are very, very interested in it. I think it's still really hard for men to find good information about
yes,
sex. And, you know, let me tell you a little story about one guy. There was a guy who interviewed me, and he talked to me for quite a long time after. It was a great interview, but he talked to me for quite a long time afterwards. And he told me in the 70s, now we're talking the 70s, supposed
mm-hmm,
to be the era of free sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was at college, he and his friends were sitting in the library, and a guy came in with a book he just found, and said, look, this book, and there was a picture there of women's genitals, and it said, it mentioned the clitoris, and it said, you know, the clitoris is the seat of women's sexual arousal. Well, and then there was a picture, and in the picture there was a line labeled clitoris, and but it didn't go to anything. It just went to the middle of the picture. So anyway, so this guy went to his girlfriend and he said, so I just read that, you know, you've got this thing called the clitoris. Well, she'd never heard of it. And she didn't know where it was.
I know. Oh, yeah.
So, exactly. I mean, if there's anything in the world that is sad, that is sad. And it still happens. Believe me.
Oh, absolutely. I see it all
happens.
The time.
Yeah. I didn't know where my clitoris was until I was in my 20s.
Yes.
I mean,
gosh, could you imagine a guy not knowing where his dick was?
I know.
Until he was 20?
Exactly.
It's just, it's inconceivable to us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're like, we just can't imagine that somebody would be so unversed about her own body, and
right,
yet
it does happen.
It's culturally induced,
yes.
You know.
I mean,
it's
and let me tell you the end of the story. So he and his girlfriend spent a long time looking for a clitoris, and they were looking mostly, you know, deep in the vagina, because they figured it had got to be hidden somewhere,
yes,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, they never found it. Well, they broke up, and he got together with a woman who knew where hers was. But I think that story is really illustrative of the difficulties that men experience. I mean, because so many women, I mean, it's women experience, so many women don't know their own bodies. I didn't want to investigate down there. I'd been told off for investigating
down there. Right.
It wasn't until I talked with other women that I really believed, first of all, that women had orgasms. I didn't believe it when men told me that. And secondly, that there was this thing called the clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I talked with other women that I began to really investigate my own bits and find out what was going on.
Well, I'm enormously grateful that you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world is a much better place. So how did you find the women you interviewed?
They were... Well, first of all, I mean, just anybody who came into my social circle. So all I talked about.
Hi, new in town.
Yes.
Want to talk
Hi,
about your clitoris?
About sex. Would you like to tell me about sexual experiences?
I love it.
And because of this, just really because of the circles I was moving in at the time, there were a lot of people who were willing to talk about it. And as soon as somebody started talking to me, you know, we wouldn't stop talking.
Yes.
And then I'd be writing, and I'd be sitting at my computer writing maybe the next day or something, and I'd think, oh, I need to ask about this. And so I'd call somebody up and, you know, say, well, what do you think about this? How does this work for you? And they were ongoing conversations that went on for months, and they started off, you know, fairly casual, and they just went deeper and deeper and deeper.
Right. And there's this constant invitation when you talk about sex to go deeper. I mean, it's like, okay, we didn't, you know, we finished that topic, now let's talk about, you know, cake batter. It's not like that. It's just, it's like peeling an onion. One layer just opens up to something new and interesting. And more intense, perhaps, than the layer before.
Yeah, exactly. And you start realizing, I mean, we, you know, just thinking about it that much for all of us was absolutely eye-opening, you know, because we're trained not to think about sex. We don't bring it into the realm of the rational thinking brain,
right,
normally. And when we do, all kinds of things unfold, and we begin to have realizations that we never would have awakened to otherwise. He hadn't been willing to start really thinking about it.
Did you achieve what you were hoping to achieve in the book? I mean, I've talked lots to other authors, and sometimes they say, you know, I came right up to it, and I feel like I need another book in order to complete my thoughts.
Yeah.
How about you? Did you achieve what you set
out
to?
Well, as I say, I don't think there's an end in sight here to talk about sex. So
exactly.
The book is just the beginning, but I think it is a good beginning. I mean, I'm very happy. I'm very delighted when people say they find it useful. And a lot of people did say that to me.
And it's not just useful, but it's entertaining. You know, I mean, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to sit down and read a textbook. It's not that at all. I mean, you actually get to meet and involve yourself with these people who are talking to you and with you.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I there was one thing that happened when the book came out in 1998. I had an interview. I called around various radio stations that did book reviews and suggested they do a book review, and I called this one radio station in the Midwest and explained what the book was about, and the guy says to me, is this a joke? I was quite annoyed, and I said, no, it's not a joke. You know, I'm serious. We're in a book. He said, okay, send me a copy. So I sent him a copy, and I actually didn't expect to hear from him again. Well, a week later, I got a call from him. He said, I want to do an interview with you. So he interviewed me. It was great. After the interview, he sent me an email, and he said, to this day, it brings tears to my eyes. He said, after 40 years of marriage, your book has enhanced my sex life with my wife beyond my wildest dreams,
exactly,
and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Right.
And you know, I that tells me that I did what I wanted to do with this book.
I totally agree, and 100%. And you know, I've been at this sex therapy thing for 30 plus years. I do a lot of stuff around adult products, particularly sex toys and things like that. And I'm a big fan of sex toys. But you know what? Nothing is going to improve your sex life like talking.
Right.
Isn't that true? I mean, when you get down to it, you know, talking to your partner, you know, opening the doors, no holds barred, you know, let it out, you know, throw out questions to one another, you know, wouldn't that be a wonderful sex toy?
Right, right. And acknowledging your feelings, talking about the feelings that come up instead of just pushing away the inappropriate ones, you know. I mean, I think there are an enormous number of women who have felt murderers towards their lovers at some point during a love, during a, what's supposed to be a passionate loving exchange.
Right.
And I think to talk about that, can it opens up the doorway to moving through it to something deeper and more loving and more real.
Because I'm thinking that, you know, wanting to kill somebody and loving somebody intensely, there's a very fine line.
There is a fine line. You are so right, yes. Yes.
And so if you have that intensity, I mean, it's all it takes is a little direction, you know. It's, and it's easier to direct something that is passionate than something that is not passionate at all. Like, I couldn't give a shit. You know, I couldn't give a shit about you or your sexuality or, you know, our life together or any of that kind of stuff. That's dead. But, you know, I want to strangle you is, that's a lie.
I want to throw you out the window. I just want to throw them out the window.
I know.
Her lovers. Throw her lovers out the window.
Right.
So,
anyway. Before we go much further, is it possible for you to define some terms? I mean, we've been talking about these things now for, you know, 30 minutes. What is sex and what is orgasm?
God. Well, okay, I'm going to just give, I mean, it's first, they are both impossible to define.
Of course. I'm giving it to you as an assignment.
So sex is a particular, it's a flow of energy. I mean, life is a flow of energy. Everything is a flow of energy. And sex is a particular kind of flow of energy that we, you know, we label it. It affects us, we feel it in a certain way in certain parts of our bodies, and we label it sex. And orgasm is when that energy surges through us freely. And that is, it can happen in many other areas of life. I mean, sometimes when I write something really profound and I'm just delighted and it's like, it's an orgasmic sensation. Whenever you think of using the word orgasmic, it's because something has occurred that is just really so ecstatically delightful, and it's the energy of the ecstasy is surging through.
People talk about food that way, and wine, and you know, it's almost an orgasmic experience because it involves so much more than one's palate. It just, it, you know, flows through your word, flows throughout our body, and what a great thing. I mean, if we understand that there are orgasmic experiences beyond our genitals, then we have a touchstone for understanding what a sexual or genital orgasm could be, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's interesting. I've talked to a number of women who've had orgasms without touching their genitals at all and without feeling sexual at all, but they've had you know, a physical sensation that that they would label orgasm. And certainly, in that energy, you know, it's, in order to be fully alive, we need to be allowing energy to flow through us. I mean, energy is life force. Life force is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And sex is both one way where we can learn to allow energy to flow through us, and it's one way where we can allow energy to flow through us and really feel fully alive in doing that.
Outstanding. Well, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today. And yet, I have so much more that I want to talk to you about, and I don't want to let you go, but I have to. Could I beg you to come back and speak with us next? Oh, see how easy you are. I love it. But before you go, would you give us your website address and walk us around? What can we find there, and can we buy your book through your website?
My website is www.mikayaheart.org. And, you know, I'm not very good at website stuff. So I think that you can't buy my book. I have a friend, my web witch, who does things for me. And she might have fixed it up, so you can, but I'm not sure.
Well,
so
we'll certainly have links on today's podcast posting for buying
good.
Your book. Good, good, good.
Yeah, you should be available from any bookstore or online or, you know,
right.
in real physical space.
Good, good, good.
And my other books might be more difficult to get them in a real physical space, but you can certainly buy them online.
Right.
And there's information on my website about all my different books and about the work I do as a life coach, which is primarily about learning to allow energy to flow through you, about being fully alive, and some shamanic journeys that I lead. At some point, I'd love to talk about how I see sex as a shamanic activity.
Well, I intend to ask those questions next
good,
week.
Good.
So, audience, stay tuned for next week. And until next week, my dear, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thank you so much
yes.
for your time.
Good. Thank you very much, Richard.
Bye.
Great. Bye.
What a marvelous show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my interview with Mikaya Heart and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. So remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? One final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies. Sex toys, for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is drdicksextoyreviews.com. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.